Jordan Dance!
Bring him up, gang. Bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
NASCAR's return to Bowman Gray for the Clash is an absolute hit. That's our top story on this edition of the Pit Reporters.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, in for Brett McMillan, here's Doug Rice.
Welcome to the show. Honored to be in studio with both of our guests. Speed Sports Money, is that right, Bruce Martin? No,
Forbes
I got it wrong.
Forbes Sports Money and Speed Sport.
All right, so. Bruce is all kind of credentialed up, and Kelly Crandall from Racer is here. Kelly, nice to have you in the house.
Oh, thanks for having
me. It's kind of a treat having everybody in studio and this not being some sort of Zoom package deal. I like that.
Yes, the era of Zoom does get a little old after a while, although you can be on some Zoom calls as long as you don't turn on your video and just have on a t-shirt, a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the difference.
So for this, I'm glad you guys are here. It's really nice to have you both in studio. I want to get, and Kelly, we'll start with you. I want to get just your overall impression of what we saw with the Clash at Bowman Gray. They announced it about a year ago. We finally came to fruition, and not so much about the race, but about the event.
Well, I think the race plays into the event, to be honest with you, Doug, because I think, in my opinion, what happened over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, checked all the boxes. You had a historic racetrack and a fan base that deserves, I guess you could say, to see Cup Series racing. They're passionate. They brought that passion to the racetrack. It was sold out on Sunday, nearly sold out, I think, on Saturday. You had an incredible atmosphere where the drivers were having fun, the teams were having fun. I mentioned the history of the racetrack. Driver intros are not normally something folks pay a lot of attention to or at least talk about, but they were talked about afterwards because of how different and how cool they were. And then on the track, you saw good racing. So to me, that's why I said, I think it checked all the boxes. It was a good show. It showed that we can bring cup cars to quarter-mile racetracks and get the job done. And I think the weekend went as well as it could have.
All right, Bruce, Kelly gives it, sounds like, passing marks all the way around. What are you thinking?
I thought it looked very good for you, as unique as it was to have a race at the LA Coliseum. After a couple of years, it started to look just a little bit more like a gimmick. This really looked natural. This looked like an old-fashioned, old-school stock car race. And the fact that I'd mentioned before we went on air, I think it really looks better to have 18,000, 20,000 people fill up a place and try to have 40,000 people attempt to fill up a 90,000 seat venue. It really looked right. It looked like a very entertaining show, and the racetrack itself looked a lot better than the track that they built at the LA Coliseum. This actually looked like a proper racetrack. Why? Because it is a proper racetrack. It really reminded me of the style of racing a little bit of a shorter Martinsville Speedway. And a lot of people love going to Martinsville. They think that's a great style of racing.
Well, I give it marks for that. I love the vibe of the fact, as you said, 18, 17,000 people, whatever it was, it felt like that's a party I want to be to. Any party that you go to and the room's not crowded, Kelly, you get that and you go like, well, there's nothing going on here. You crowd up the room, all of a sudden you've got something worthwhile going to.
Yeah, and Bruce brings up a good point, because we do have a lot of racetracks on the circuit that were built back when the sport was at the height of its popularity and you could fill out 90 to 150,000 seats, right? And we're not doing that anymore. And as you're saying there, Doug, it does now look a little different, and it looks weird and it looks awkward, and people start talking about attendance because it's not full. With Bowman Gray, not only was it, yes, you had a smaller audience, but you had an audience, as I said before, that was passionate. And what made it special was the fact that they were right there, it felt like, on top of the drivers. And that was something the drivers felt and noticed and talked about.
I don't know that there was a driver that didn't get flipped off by somebody during the race, by the way. That seems to be a rite of passage if you're a fan at Bowman Gray. Bruce, you go to a restaurant, you have a great meal, and as you're walking out, you immediately start saying, well, are we coming back here to eat again? This was so good. Is NASCAR going to make another reservation at Bowman Gray for next year?
I certainly hope so. I think Bowman Gray deserves to have at least a couple of year run as the venue for the Clash. But NASCAR is always looking outside and looking beyond and trying to come up with new venues. I did think that Kevin Harvick brought up a real good point. If they're going to go to a different place, he recommended they try Hickory Speedway. Now, once again, I think NASCAR got very lucky in the fact that the weather really cooperated, because the first weekend in February in Winston-Salem can be pretty chilly. It didn't happen. It was a fairly comfortable 50 degrees or lower 40s. I'm not so sure sometimes in Hickory at that time of the year it might be a little bit colder. But that type of track would be a good place to go. But there's always people that want to see NASCAR go on the road, try something in Brazil, try something international. I'm not really quite so sure they should do that with something like the Clash, although I would rather see an exhibition race there than a points-paying race. But I really hope they come back to Bowman Gray.
Kelly, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's a lot of rumors and a lot of speculation and a lot of opinions out there. I wrote on Racer that, at least for me personally, I would love to see them get more than 1 year, and I think they deserve more than 1 year. I think, again, what we saw Saturday and Sunday made a really strong case that that NASCAR can put on a show there. The teams can work there. You can put all the equipment necessary and bring media there. So I think they deserve more than 1 year, and I hope that they get more than 1 year.
I've got to agree with you there, I think, solidly. And there's sort of this afterglow effect that I picked up by listening to the talk shows and things, that everybody loved this. Why would you say, okay, you can't have that anymore?
Well, that's the exact thing. When something works, stick with it. Don't go back to the Coca-Cola mistake in the 1980s when they went from the regular formula and switched to New Coke.
New Coke. Oh, geez.
But you never know what Ben Kennedy is thinking. He always seems to find something that a lot of people aren't even expecting, and it will be interesting to see what he does.
My speculation, Kelly, would be that they get it next year just simply because it was such a hot item. But past that, I think this thing moves around again and again.
Well, I think the biggest thing for NASCAR is they need to decide right now. I think they're in a crucial part where they need to decide what is the identity and what's the purpose of the Clash.
Right.
Is it a preseason exhibition event where you're trying to remind people that, hey, let's get excited, racing is around the corner? And if that's the case, then I think you keep it in the United States and you can move it around. Or are you looking at this as something completely different, to where this is just an opportunity to showcase our sport and our stars? And that's where the international piece is going to come into play. And that's where all the other dominoes are going to fall into, you know, where do we take it? What do we do with it? What's the format? So I think for NASCAR, they need to first sit down and think about what's the identity of this race, because it's changed. You have to admit it has changed. We were in Daytona for so long, and that was a warm-up to the Daytona 500, and it was basically invitation only with pole winners. Then we went to LA, and it was like, well, we can serve the LA market, and it became a hype event with focus on music and celebrities and athletes, and the racing was kind of secondary. Well, now after Bowman Gray, it felt like the focus was back on the racing, and it was back on grassroots, and it was back on serving the race fans. So again, that's why I think they need to sit down and just decide, what are we trying to accomplish here?
L.A. went from trying to expose new fans to Bowman Gray trying to bring the show back to
absolutely
hardcore fans.
No, this was an homage to the past, and on that part, it worked perfectly. One other thing before we get out of this A block here, NASCAR has used this race and other exhibition-type races to, as you said, introduce new fans. But do you realize how much NASCAR came back to North Carolina? When I first started covering this sport, there was the All-Star race at Charlotte, plus the other two big races, the Coca-Cola and whatever the 500 was. There were two races at Rockingham, and there were two races at North Wilkesboro. So all in all, seven huge events right here in North Carolina. This year, Xfinity and Trucks back at Rockingham. North Wilkesboro is going to have the All-Star race. We just had Bowman Gray back again with the Clash. Charlotte will have its two races. And you could kind of cheat and put Martinsville in there. They're barely across the line.
I always thought Martinsville was a home race for a lot of, especially for Richard Petty. There are a lot of race fans up there in that Greensboro, Winston-Salem, High Point area. And to them, that's their home track. It's more their home track than Charlotte Motor Speedway is.
You think that's a conscious thing, Kelly, that NASCAR is saying, all right, we got to take care of the home base here. Let's give them a few cookies.
I think so, because this is a sport that has a very vocal fan base when it comes to feeling like that NASCAR needs to go back to its roots. And you just mentioned it right there. The fact that in 1 year we're going back to Rockingham, North Wilkesboro is on the schedule for the third straight season, right? And we just went back to Bowman Gray. It doesn't get any more back to your roots than that, right? I mean, those are three racetracks that a lot of race fans talk about, particularly North Wilkesboro. We all know what the push was to get that back on the schedule. And then it seemed like Rockingham was right there, kind of like 1A and 1B. It was North Wilkesboro and Rockingham, and they're both back. So now, also to bring Bowman Gray into the conversation, yes, I think it is. I think they're very much saying, we have evolved this sport enough, but we need to put things out there to where it still feels like we're valuing and listening to our diehard core race fan.
I don't have inside intel, wish I did, but I'm going to think within 2 years we'll have a points-paying race at North Wilkesboro. I don't know where the All-Star race will go. If it stays suit, it would probably go to a Speedway Motorsports track because they've traditionally, I think, had all the All-Star races except the second one at Atlanta. That was not a Speedway Motorsports track when that race mm-hmm. was there. And I don't know, depending on how it plays out at Rockingham, I would not be shocked if they got a cup show.
I always used to love the days when we'd go spend 2 weeks in Daytona Beach, and then the very next race right out of the box was at Rockingham. It was really a chance to drive over from the North Charlotte area on Friday morning. You were able to drive home on Sunday night, and it just really seemed to be the best way to ease into the season. After that, they made everybody get on a plane and fly to Fontana.
And there were a lot of cold weekends at Rockingham. I've been down there and set and in snow flurries and watch the race. But, you know, I think sometimes we make too much about that. And with global warming, why are we worried about that? All right, when we come back, NASCAR's most popular driver wins the Clash.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
The speed, the thrill, the action. NASCAR takes over Las Vegas March 14th through 16th for the Pennzoil 400 race weekend at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Get ready for non-stop action as NASCAR's biggest stars battle for victory. Whether you're in the stands or camping trackside, feel the adrenaline like never before. Tickets at lvms.com or call 800-644-4444. Are you ready to go all in? This is NASCAR. This is Vegas. This is the Pennzoil 400 March 14th through 16th. Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, it's PRN's Brad Gilley. Did you know you could take PRN with you anywhere? That's right. By downloading the PRN mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. Download today for station listings and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, The Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app, available in the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
Hey, I'm Corley Joy for Speedway Children's Charities. The mission for Speedway Children's Charities has remained true since its founding almost 40 years ago, to care for children in educational, financial, social, and medical needs in order to help them lead happy and productive lives. So many children have benefited from our group in the past, but we need your help now more than ever. There's so much we can do when we all join together, so let's start today. Visit speedwaycharities.org to learn more. I thank you in advance for your help.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Thrilled to be here with you, Doug Rice, substituting for Brett McMillan. I think he's in Utah with, what is it called, fresh powder? It's when it just snows on the ski slopes. I think
there's definitely fresh powder in Utah.
Yeah, I think that it's somewhere. He's somewhere exotic.
But there's an atmospheric river in California this
week. Of course there is. There's always calamity in California. Top five at the Clash. Chase Elliott, Ryan Blaney, Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, Bubba Wallace, all pretty well-recognized names. Bruce Martin, first person to win this clash at Bowman Gray. Chase Elliott, how excited was NASCAR to have their favorite son wind up winning this?
And how appropriate it is for Chase Elliott to win at a track like Bowman Gray. Because when you think of the old school drivers, nobody was more popular or as popular as Bill Elliott was back in the day. It just really seemed to be perfect type of driver to win at a perfect type of old school racetrack. So NASCAR has to be very happy about that. The other thing is, I don't think he turned a wheel wrong the entire weekend. If you talk about having a perfect weekend, he came pretty close.
He was locked in, Kelly.
He was, and he was also one of the drivers that right from the start of the weekend was very complimentary of being at that racetrack and thought it was a big deal for NASCAR. And I thought his media availabilities to that regard were really, really good. So to see him go out and appreciate winning at that place and putting on that performance is a big deal. It's always a big deal for NASCAR when Chase Elliott wins. And I also think about this, though, Doug, is that's the first win for that 9 team since April of last year. So for them to just shake off kind of, you know, not necessarily cobwebs, but to kind of just shake everything off and get back to victory lane, which they were, you know, shut out of for a major portion of last year, had to feel good too.
They were good last year, but they weren't great.
Yeah.
They had the one win at Texas, and then they just knocked out a bunch of top tens. I'm going to ask both of you this, and this is not a gotcha question. Why is he so popular? Why is he the now however many times most popular driver in the sport?
Well, the last name doesn't hurt.
Is that it?
Is that
the magic touch?
Well,
there?
I think the last name didn't hurt, and really the last name didn't hurt Dale Jr., but then we discovered Dale Jr. had a completely unique personality. He was able to connect with a lot of people, young people at that time. He's the reason why so many young people in the late 90s and early 2000s watched NASCAR. I look at a guy like Chase Elliott. He's just got the lineage that he's been able to capitalize on.
Is that it, Kelly? Is it the fact that a lot of people have watched him literally grow up in the sport, toddling around behind Bill Elliott when they were at the racetrack?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right? Bruce hit on it. Like, you have the lineage, you have the name. I think you can argue maybe not necessarily the personality, right? Like, a lot of people always kind of laugh and say, you know, he's very reserved and stays to himself. But yeah, when you're racing royalty, so to speak, that's always going to connect with people. So I think that's gone a long way for him.
I think in some ways maybe that's the safer play for him, because you just used it, racing royalty. He doesn't have to be flamboyant. Mm-hmm. He already has that DNA built in, and if he plays it close to the vest, then he doesn't run afoul of the fan base.
I think we also saw him more at the track as a toddler, as a youngster, than we did Dale Jr.,
right?
Because it was rare when you would see Dale Earnhardt Jr. at a young age show up at a NASCAR Cup Series race. When he got to be older and when he started his racing career, then we saw more of him, and that's why a lot of people discovered his personality and just the fact that he was the right guy at the right time for that generation.
With Chase winning this race, dominating it, led 171 out of 200 laps, what kind of impact did that have on television? I think the ratings have just hit, Kelly.
Yeah, it is interesting. And you have to keep in mind, too, is that it was on Big Fox this year. Fox made the decision to put it in prime time, put it on the big network, whereas last year we had a lot of factors working against it, right? It was on FS1, plus it was moved up.
It was on Saturday and not Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a day early, but the numbers are out. So it was an average of 3.1 million viewers that tuned into Fox. And then to go a little deeper here, it says at its peak, 3.4 million were tuned in, whereas last year, as we talked about with everything that was working against it when it was in LA with the weather and moving it up and it being on FS1, last year, it averaged 1.5 million viewers. So quite the jump for NASCAR and for Fox with the way that they produced this year's clash.
I feel like they've already gotten off to a better start than last year. You didn't have that hiccup with the weather. Hopefully Daytona runs on Sunday this year and not back on Monday, because that always puts the brakes on things. It was a 200-lap race. It took 1 hour and 13 minutes to run. Average speed? 40 miles an hour. I don't know why that makes me laugh, but it does. Because,
but that just proves, Doug,
yeah,
that speed does not always necessarily mean good racing.
No.
So when everybody talks about we need these cars to be faster, no, that does not necessarily equate to good racing.
I'm going to average more than that driving back to Mooresville.
You better. I mean, I get it. I think that's a very good point, Kelly. Speed's relative.
Yeah.
And what did you think of the racing, Bruce? We talked about the event, but how the actual bumping and shoving and gouging and all the things that go with Bowman Gray.
It was great for the simple reason that you could bump a guy out of the way without overtly pushing him out of the way. It was just the old style of short track racing where it was bump and grind, but there wasn't really any hostility involved in it. And it really showed how much that was an art form rather than a tactic.
There was a few things that stood out for me. The first was that we had a little bit of everything. You had leaders that could run side by side without taking each other out, without sliding into each other. They legitimately could run side by side if they wanted to challenge each other. You also had racing that it got, even when it got strung out, you can make passes. We had Ryan Blaney on merit go from 23rd to 2nd in that race. But you also had short track racing where if you wanted to bump someone and move someone out of the bottom lane, you could do that. If you wanted to go into the corner and ship someone, you could do that too. So I felt like we had a little bit of everything and everything you could have asked for. But overall, I felt like that all came together and was a, to me, that was a good race. I would, that gets my seal of approval.
And if you were Ty Gibbs, you could launch yourself into the air.
I have a feeling of all the things that happened, that might get a little rap on the knuckles from NASCAR because that was
well, Brad Moran has already said that. Yeah. Cup Series director Brad Moran's already said that. He said that he and Ty will have a conversation before Daytona to just kind of make sure everything's clear.
Yeah, do think NASCAR, unofficially, probably said, guys, rough it up a little bit if you want to. This is the one time. I mean, you're not going that fast.
It's a short track, and this is a contact sport. Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, but there's also a line, too, right? I think for Ty, he showed his emotion. None of us expected that car to launch, right? That was just, if that car doesn't launch, we're not having this conversation.
No.
So it looked worse than it was. So I think for NASCAR, by Brad Moran saying, hey, we're going to have a conversation and you just leave it at that, that's fine. Just to kind of, again, rein everybody. I think for Ty, the reason he's even getting a conversation is because he has a rap sheet. So again, I don't think it warrants anything else because it is a short track racing and we do need aggression. But there are times, I think, with Ty, because of his reputation, you just got to reel him back in and say, okay, you good? Let's calm down. Let's move on.
If you got a record, it follows you around.
The other thing is cosmetic damage didn't really affect any of the car's handling. You could get a hole in your grill and still drive your way up toward the front. So that is the perfect type of place if you're going to do a little bit of elbowing here and elbowing there that you can get away with it. A
lot of fun at Winston-Salem. I think NASCAR got off to a great start. Great buzz going into Daytona. Let's go to Daytona. Have a spectacular 500. Have a 500 on the day that it's actually scheduled to race. And they've got to be tickled with the start of the season. Lots of new combinations heading into next year. We'll chat about those next.
For anyone who's worried about back taxes, has not filed tax returns, and doesn't know what to do next, stop and listen. Not filing your taxes can have severe consequences, especially in this political climate. Now that COVID is over, the IRS is getting aggressive, massively increasing enforcement and collection efforts. With politicians making all sorts of promises, especially when it comes to taxes, hiding and not dealing with your taxes will cause you harsh legal and financial ramifications. But right now, the IRS offers forgiveness and writes off a massive amount of tax debt. The Tax Doctor offers a free service that helps people get out of IRS collections and back in good standing with the government. Don't hide or bury your head in the sand. Take advantage of our free service. Call now to learn more. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. 800-393-5045. That's 800-393-5045.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Dale Earnhardt, he's almost been deified. There's a mystique about him that's never been attached to any other driver, including your dad.
I think there's two things for Dale Earnhardt that make him who he is. He was that guy that's your neighbor. I don't care if you live in a mobile home. I don't care if you live in a mansion. He's that guy that was your neighbor. He's the guy that was out in his yard planting his plants. He's the guy that was out there mowing. He's the guy that was out there doing it. He's the guy that drove the truck. He's the guy that got up under the car and changed the gear. He's the guy that put on a uniform and jumped in that car and became your hero on a Sunday afternoon. And you could identify with that. He's really that last guy. And he is, in the words of Tom Wolfe, last great American hero, the book that was written about Junior Johnson. He is that last guy to a lot of people. And he was going to have that following no matter what. It moved to a different level because of what happened at Daytona. Billy Joel, only the good die young. And that's the way you remember it. So I think that moves you to a different place too.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Doug Rice substituting for Brett McMillan, joined by Bruce Martin and Kelly Crandall, and we're all in studio and having a grand time as we get ready to launch into the 2025 NASCAR season and the 67th running of the Great American Race. And Kelly, we do so with so many new combos. I know tracks don't sell programs anymore, but this might be a pretty good year to at least sell me a scoring sheet, because I don't know that a lot of folks are going to know who's in what car yet.
Yeah, everybody needs a cheat sheet, and this was one of those years where I felt like I needed to do that, and I put one up on Racer so folks could find one. And it was also good practice for me to start practicing typing out all these different car numbers and who's in what car. So it is. It's one of those years where we had a very, very busy offseason.
Who will you have, both of you, who will you have the hardest time putting in a new car? Or taking somebody out of
there's
an old
two,
car.
I can tell you there's two for me already, because it was almost happening over the weekend at Bowman Gray. It's not putting Josh Berry or Kevin Harvick in the four.
Right.
And Martin Truex, not putting Martin Truex in the 19. Yeah.
Mine's going to be Michael McDowell, because I keep wanting to put him at front row, and he's not at front row.
Yeah, I keep wanting to put him in the 34, and he's in this weird-looking 71 over there.
That's going to be one.
So those two, it's going to take a while. I'm not doing play-by-play this year, but if I was, it would require a little extra study here. So
I'm glad you mentioned about printing a scorecard. I should have sold some advertising for this. Maybe I could have made a little bit of extra money on the side. But the changes on here go anywhere from A to Z.
By the way, you can leave all those notes here when you go. I'll trade you a Coke Zero for those.
I haven't had a Coke since October of 2022.
Oh, wow. That was a bad offer then.
Yeah. Well, we'll come
How
up with
How about a
something
case of Dasani?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into
everywhere
some of these
changes. From A to Z. AJ Allmendinger's back in Cup.
Yeah.
And Zane Smith switching teams.
Oh, like what you did there. That was very good. That's very good. Kelly, out of all of these, are there a couple of hidden gems that maybe we've not talked about? A new driver crew chief combo or a new team combo? Let's go team combo first, then we'll do driver crew chief.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of time has probably been spent on all of them. I think for me, the one that comes to mind that maybe hasn't gotten enough attention, or maybe the one I'm most fascinated by, maybe not most fascinated by, but one I'm fascinated by, is Josh Berry in the 21. Because I think this is a good opportunity for Josh to be with a small single car team. They have the alliance partners with Team Penske,
right,
but for that team to really focus on themselves, for Josh to settle in somewhere. And we know he has the talent. And I think that team is perfectly capable, and clearly they are yearning to get back to a competitive consistency, right? So I'm really, really curious to see what those two can do coming together. And I think it'll be really cool and intriguing to see how Josh works with the Penske drivers, because I feel like Josh and the Penske drivers are that those team briefings should be very beneficial to everybody.
Bruce, you got one. We're talking right now, new team, different driver, not just crew chief. We'll get to that.
Well, I'll go back to Michael McDowell. He, over the last couple of years, has really developed into a really good driver, and it's going to be interesting to see if he can continue that now with a different team. Seemed like he was such a great fit at front row, so it's going to be interesting to see how he does it now over at Spire.
Is Spire, and then we'll jump to the other part, Aspired for both of you. Is this finally the year that we're looking at Spire as being one of the teams that can put cars in the playoffs and maybe win a race or two?
Spire could be this year's 2311 or Trackhouse. They have that chance to be able to do that.
Kelly?
No, I think so. And there's it's very interesting over there right now, because when you talk to different folks in the building, like a Rodney Childers, who is used to winning and doesn't like how the last couple of years he's been winless with the teams he was working on, right? So his expectation is to win, and he believes he has the driver to do that, and he believes that there's everyone at Spire. When he looks around the room, and he's said this a few times, when he goes into a meeting at 7 a.m. and looks around the room, he is struck by the fact that he feels like we have the people here who can get the job done. And you look at Michael McDowell as a proven race winner. He's going over there probably with the same expectations. Let's contend for a playoff spot. Let's go out and do what I'm used to doing. And then you have Jeff Dickerson, the co-owner, who is kind of internally battling where he understands, okay, every year is a step forward, but he's now at the point where he's like, we need to win. Like, this has to be it. We need to win. So he's fighting that as well of what's the balance of we're taking step forwards, but we want to do it now. But yeah, so yeah, I think there's people in that building who can get it done. Don't forget, they also have Matt McCall over there. They have they still have Ryan Sparks over there. They have Rodney and Cheddar, and they've brought in other Stuart Haas guys as well. So there is a lot of talented drivers, crew chiefs, engineers, shop people over there that, yes, I think this could be the year that if they go to victory lane, it shouldn't be a surprise.
And by teaming him up with Rodney Childers, teaming up with Justin Haley, let's see what the step up in Justin Haley's career can be.
There's always been a lot of buzz around Justin. This is a guy that has the potential. He's really good. Just got to be in the right place. Well, maybe this is that opportunity.
Yeah.
Personable fella. I think he's a pretty good race car driver. Big year for him. There's a couple of other folks I want to ask you about. In particular, we'll chat a little bit about Kyle Busch and Carson Hocevar. All the buzz around him. What's that all about? We'll do that next.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Hold on to your horses. The Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix returns to Circuit of the Americas February 28th through March 2nd. NASCAR stars face a new action-packed course in a high-octane showdown. Experience live music, fan zone attractions, and more. Plus, camp at the track for ultimate race weekend access. A new road, a new rodeo. The Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. Tickets at NASCARDakota.com.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
Here's Christopher Bell.
My Toyota Camry TRD race car isn't cheap to build and prepare. I have a pit crew that maintains and fixes my equipment. I have a spotter high above the track watching my back, talking me through turns and potential dangers on the track. I physically train to handle the stress of driving. And I have software helping my crew chief and engineers make the right strategy calls. And with all this, I never take my eyes off the road, and neither should you. One distraction can change everything in one instant.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Welcome back to the show. Bruce Martin, Kelly Crandall. I'm Doug Rice. Thrilled to have you with us on the Pit Reporters. I've always felt in my experience, seeing a first-time winner, that's an exciting thing because there's nothing like winning that first race. One of the most surprising ones I ever saw was when Jamie McMurray broke through. I think it was his third race, and he won here at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the fall race. And you kept thinking as that race wound down that Bobby Labonte was going to catch him because this was Bobby Labonte's playground here. won a bunch of races, and he never did. And the thrill of these first-time winners, that's a big deal.
I go back to Kevin Harvick winning at Atlanta because of what had happened a couple of races earlier when Dale Earnhardt was killed, and for him to be Earnhardt's replacement and to win and to beat Jeff Gordon at the line as close as it was, that's one that we will always remember, those of us who were there.
And a couple of years ago at Chicago, Shane Van Gisbergen, a guy who we couldn't even announce his name right, you know, and then everybody had to resort to just SVG to try to get through the race, and he pops in and wins. So, Kelly, there's still a lot of drivers that have yet to grab that big trophy and check and celebrate in victory lane. The race to be the next. The race to be the next first-time winner. You want to give us a little shot at who you think that might be?
There's a lot of really good names. I think maybe because we just talked about them and I brought them up, but I'll go Josh Berry. I think he and Rodney Childers last year at Stuart Haas had some opportunities and came close to some races. And I think the fact that he's still driving a Ford, the Fords are going to be fast, especially at these first couple races when we go to Daytona and we go to Atlanta. And I talked about it in the previous segment. I really like this pairing of him and Wood Brothers and having that Team Penske alliance. So maybe that's just fresh on my mind, but I think he's close. I think he's very, very close.
Josh Berry gets a vote.
She took my pick, but I'll counter with the fact that 2311 has been so good the last season or two that Riley Herbst could be in a position this year to win his first race.
When he wins big. I mean, he won the Phoenix race, didn't win the title, but beat out the eventual title winner. And then the race that he won, where was it? At Las Vegas, he won by like 18 seconds. I don't know. That's a big jump, though, to win two Xfinity races to be in Cup. I like it. I like the boldness of that pick. I hear a lot of buzz around Carson Hocevar. Everybody, if he can just calm down, is that the case, Bruce? Is he a guy that I could put a chip or two on to be the first-time winner?
Definitely. If you look at him out of the car, you think, well, there's a nice, mild-mannered kid. But when he gets on the racetrack, he gets everybody else around him furious at him. He's like the kid in high school that everybody tried to snap their towel at in gym class. I don't think you can do that anymore in today's age. But he's definitely...
I don't think you have to take gym anymore, but anyway.
Probably not. But it's... Hocevar is a guy that you look at him and say, that's a smart, impressive guy. And then he gets out there and he can be a wrecking ball sometimes on the track. But hey, it's NASCAR. Aggressiveness sometimes is the key that gets you to victory lane.
Kelly, what are you thinking? Hocevar... Can he win this year, or is this a learn how to play well with others year for him?
No, I think he certainly can win, and I don't know necessarily if it's about learning how to play well with others. I think you said, you know, maybe calm down. I don't even know if that's the right word. I think it just comes down to his racecraft. It's just there are times where he goes out there and he has the talent. I think he has the speed and the team, but I think the racecraft and just getting from green flag to checkered flag and keeping yourself in position, keeping yourself cool under the collar, you know, to use that expression, just getting from green to checkered and everything. These are long races, right? So I think he can win. And I think, again, if he puts himself in position of can he go out there and seal the deal? Because a lot of these races are going to come down to the decisions and of the driver and knowing what to do, where to put their car. And I think Carson can do that. But again, when you come down to the end of these races, he has to go out and prove that he can do it.
I love the fact that people use the cliche, well, he has speed. Well, hell, you're a race car driver. I thought that was a prerequisite, you know, that you're supposed to be able to go fast. But
I think when you say he has speed, there's also the variable of drivers being able to find speed and being able to do something with that race car and get the most out of it, right? And going back to what I said, putting it in the right places and making the right moves and hitting your marks lap after lap. Because again, these races are long. So you can have speed, but can you use the speed, right? Can you use that to your advantage?
One of our Rookie of the Year candidates, by the way, first before we get to that, talk to me about the lack of the yellow stripe on the cars now to designate rookies. It is no more. It is gone. The way of the dodo.
I don't like it. I always thought it was cool to have that rookie stripe on there, and it was something that goes back in all forms of racing. There's always been a bit of a rookie stripe to identify to people. you know, this guy's a first-time driver. If you're coming up on him, especially at a restrictor plate track, you better be aware of that. Yep. Now, we're going to Daytona. There's no yellow stripes. So, hopefully that doesn't result in any yellow flags.
Kelly, any problems with that?
I mean, it's not a hill I'm going to die on, but yeah. I did love the tradition of it. I think it was something, again, that was, if you want to say special, people looked forward to it. It was something that signified that, okay, this is a rookie. This is a driver that is earning their stripe, you know, pun intended, if you want to say that. So I'm not going to get all up in arms over it. I don't understand why it had to go away. I mean, I don't know what it was hurting. I liked the tradition of it. So it is definitely going to be different.
I'm like Bruce, and I'm a traditionalist when it comes to that point. And you got to graduate from that. You know, I don't have to have that on my car anymore. And
yeah.
And I don't know. I think it was a problem that didn't need to be solved.
And to this point, I don't really understand why NASCAR made the change. It really does seem to be something that you would want your drivers to be more aware of what's coming up. They've spent all this money on having a steering wheel and a dash that tells you everything, including what time the turkey's going to be done, but yet they take off the yellow stripe from signifying it's a rookie that you're closing up
on. You know, they
on.
Probably could put some sort of tracking system in it that when you came up on a rookie driver, that an alarm would go off in your car. I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised at all. I want to talk about Shane Van Gisbergen and what do we think his prospects are going to be like in his first full season of Cup. We'll talk about the man from down under next.
Look, yo, how do you feel today? Maybe you're a little hungover again, feeling a little embarrassed about a few things? Listen, why haven't you called yet to get help? Man, aren't you tired of feeling this way? So listen, whatever your party drug of choice is, there are ways to get clean and sober, especially if it's messing with your life. Hey man, we all have choices. You can make a choice right here, right now, today, to call the number I'm about to give you and start a brand new life without drugs or booze. I know it's hard to think about this, but imagine how great your life could be. And all it takes is one simple phone call. I've got a team of people standing by ready to check your insurance and let you know what it takes to get clean and sober. Okay, so get ready to save this number because here it comes.
800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. 800-296-1140. That's 800-296-1140. Paid for by the Detox Treatment Helpline.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
Speedway Children's Charities raises money through several different avenues. My favorite is the gala.
It's one of those can't-miss events for everybody who attends. And I've been able to raise and distribute over $60 million.
When you have 50 different organizations receiving grants from Speedway Children's Charities, that's far-reaching. And some people think, well, I don't have much money to give. I say, $50 is a lot to give.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
And if one child is still in need,
then there's still work to do.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
The Rookie of the Year battle this year in the NASCAR Cup Series. Only two participants. Riley Herbst, Bruce talked about him a little bit ago, and we mentioned Shane Van Gisbergen. Bruce, Shane Van Gisbergen, SVG, is it almost a lock that he makes the playoffs because we have five street court races, and I feel like he's going to win one of them?
I don't want to jinx him, but I think I've already got him penciled in as a winner. One of them, maybe two of them. He really has been impressive. It seems like he is on a different level when he gets out on a race on a road course than the rest of the competition. We've seen some good road racers that have developed in NASCAR, but he just has so much incredible natural ability. As we saw the first time he ever raced on the streets of Chicago, he was in a different
He was on race different plane. Altogether.
Just completely different. And it was very impressive to just see how cool he was behind the wheel of the race car while other drivers were just frantically doing their best, sliding all over the place to try to make up positions. And he just moseyed on his way and won the race.
Kelly Crandall, are we safe in saying he's one of the 16 playoff guys?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good bet to put some money on because right. I don't think you can say it's not going to happen because he's going to have an opportunity, as you mentioned, with the amount of left and rights that we're going to make in the regular season. He has a chance. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he kind of jumps up somewhere else. I mean, there's these other tracks he's starting to pick up on, you know, like
he finished ninth at the Clash.
Yeah, the short tracks. Yeah. And he mentioned it the other night. He likes Martinsville. So I think he's going to have a very, very good shot. Obviously, when you look at, you know, you're definitely going to want to have him in the conversation because of the road courses.
I'm going to go to Vegas. I like to play roulette. And if you bet on the outside, your chances are better at winning the bet. You know, if you bet a street or if you bet a whole line or black or red, you got a better chance to win, but you don't win as big. I would bet him straight up. I would bet him straight up right now to be one of the 16 drivers that makes it in. Big year this year coming up. We finally get to the much talked about new TV contract. How are our fans, the fans of NASCAR, are they going to adapt smoothly to all of this, to the new world, Kelly, of Fox and Amazon and TNT and NBC? And there's lots of new people telling them what's going on at these places.
I don't know if it's going to be smooth. It's definitely going to be an adjustment because not only from where the races are going to be when you have different partners going from Fox to Prime to TNT to NBC Sports, but where practice and qualifying is going to be and having, you know, yes, a lot of people do stream things, so there are going to be those that know how to do it, but there's going to be plenty of those that don't know how to do it. So I would say it's going to be an adjustment. I don't know if I'm comfortable enough to say it's going to be smooth because there's going to be a lot of different content out there, as you said, and a lot of different places that you can find racing. You know, the driver cameras and the scanners have already moved to behind. They're on Max now instead of NASCAR.com. So that's changed that folks are going to have to get used to. So the good news is there's a lot of content, and I think that's awesome. But it's where people are going to find it that's going to be a problem.
People on social media are going to spend more time hearing about the TV contract and the TV, where's this, where I'm not paying any extra money for that, than they will the actual stuff that happens on the track. So that's something that a lot of people who are active on social media are going to need to get used to, because one thing I've discovered about race fans, whether they're in NASCAR or IndyCar, when it comes to how they can watch the race on TV, they're very vocal.
Well, as well they should be. And that, I'm not casting aspersions here, but for most people, and I'm professional lifelong radio guy, that's their conduit to this sport or any other sport.
So for me, I look at it as I just feel like the NASCAR fan base is very, very averse to change. They don't like change. And, you know, for so long it was two TV networks, right? Or it was one TV network. And they got used to when it was, you know, Fox and NBC Sports. Well, now it's not just Fox and NBC Sports. Now you've got 10 in the middle that are going to be in different places. Mm-hmm. And you have, again, practice and qualifying are going to be in different places. And they're going to be offered here and you can do this.
And all so Xfinity races are over here on the CW.
Right. So it's just, it's a fact of, yes, they're vocal, but I think that just stems from, again, this is a fan base. This is a NASCAR fan base that is rooted in what they know and what they love, and they don't like change.
And for the first time since probably the late 1980s, one of the legacy races on the NASCAR Cup Series schedule, the Coca-Cola 600, will not be on over-the-air TV.
No, it's going to be streamed. That's one of the very, that is, I think, the first race.
It's the first race for Prime.
Yeah. So that's going to be a big breakthrough. And there are new voices talking to people with the lineups being changed. We saw Lee Diffie come in last year and did the last 10 races for NBC. And I know for some people, I'm a big Lee Diffie advocate. I think he's fabulous. But I know other people have different tastes.
All the time I spent working with Lee Diffie as part of NBCSports.com, he definitely brings a level of excitement that few announcers are able to achieve. And I was a little bit disheartened and dismayed to see some of the pushback that some of the fans gave him just because he had a different sounding
voice.
Because,
again,
than
they don't like change.
But he is a great play-by-play announcer. He knows exactly when to elevate the moment.
Yeah, he does.
And that is something that has set him apart.
And congrats to Adam Alexander finally getting chops at the big shows sometimes. And Adam's one of these guys that's, I don't want to say second tier, but that's kind of where he's been. And this year it's a big breakthrough for him.
Yeah, and Adam's another one, just a professional, can get the job done, knows the moments, knows when it's time to be serious, but can throw some, you know, some one-liners out there. Adam has my respect because he's a guy that for many years was in the Xfinity booth, and he was working with somebody different every week because they were cycling drivers through there and they were cycling different analysts in there, and he knew how to keep the train on the tracks and get the job done, but include everybody. So excellent for him. And then you bring Dale Jr.'s voice back on television, which people wanted that. Steve Letarte is another one that I could not praise enough. I think he's so smart, and his insight and his knowledge is so beneficial to the viewer to be able to listen to when Steve is explaining things and breaking stuff down. And then on and on down the line, there's so many more. So it's going to be a benefit, in my opinion, for the race fan to have all these different voices, because even though it is different and it is change, they all bring something unique and they all do a good job in a different way. And that's just, that, to me, that will be educational for the viewers.
They also bring a different perspective. And I think for a season as long as NASCAR, you need a little different perspective to really give you a different way of looking at things.
Yeah, I think you do need to shake it up. Kelly, I kind of chuckle when you talk about people being adverse to change. The first person I ever heard use this quote, I will give him credit, but I don't know if he borrowed it from somebody or not, was Tom Jensen saying race fans only dislike two things,
mm-hmm.
change and the way things are.
I knew you were going to say that quote, and I don't know if it was Tom, but I've heard that one as well. But yes, they.
There's a truism to it. I think we could probably make a lot of money off of the T-shirt sales from that.
Change and the way
things
are.
Put change on the front and put the way things are on the back of the T-shirt.
You probably go all the way back to 1980 when it was the wide wheelbase cars, and then in 81 they went to the shorter wheelbase cars, and that was like the controversy of the season.
That was going to end the sport when they went to the what they call the little cars.
Yeah.
And for most people, just looking at them, you couldn't tell any difference.
If we all had a dollar for every time we've been told this such an insert something here is going to end the sport.
Remember the 9-to-1 engine?
I remember
the single
that.
Lug nut was going to change, was going to end the sport.
And now you don't even think about it.
The next gen car was going to end the sport.
And all of the caterwauling when they proposed the Roval at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Yep.
Worst thing ever. That's going to be horrible. Seems to be chugging along just fine.
The playoff system is going to end the sport. We've been doing it for 20-something years now.
And somewhere out there, in some basement in Kansas, somebody has already set up a program to give you the points as they would have been in 1985.
Oh,
I can promise you.
It's so freaking useless.
If we went back to the 2003 championship rules, these fans would be in an uproar.
Yeah. I'm not a shill. Hell, I don't even work full-time anymore. I like the way this has evolved.
I think it has its pros and its cons.
Yeah, I mean, there's things to pick on it, but we're not going to go into the playoff thing because we don't have another hour of the show. When we come back, we'll get their white flag laps.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Down south, there's a place where moments are made at 180 miles per hour, where the thrills give you chills that are second to none. And at every turn, anything can and will happen fast. Some say it's just a NASCAR race, but it's Fastlanta, America's destination for acceleration, home of full-throttle throwdowns, partying into the night, and unbelievable photo finishes. NASCAR returns to Atlanta Motor Speedway for the Ambetter Health 400, February 21st through 23rd. Get tickets now at atlantamotorspeedway.com.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, race fans, we can't wait to see you right here at New Hampshire Motor Speedway for a wicked fast, wicked fun, fantastic weekend this September as we host New England's only NASCAR playoffs weekend with lots of fun activities, premium experiences, thrilling racing, and of course, one of the best NASCAR camping experiences around. Cup, trucks, mods, and it's locked in for this September. Keep an eye on NHMS.com, September 19th through the 21st, New England's big track.
Are you the next big star ready to rock Music City's NASCAR stage? Nashville Super Speedway is launching a search for one incredible local artist or band to headline the 2025 NASCAR Weekend Pre-Race Concert. The top 10 will face off in a fan vote with a final showdown on Broadway in front of celebrity judges. Join the ranks of Music City's best and submit your performance video at NashvilleSuperspeedway.com by March 6th for your chance to be Nashville's next rising star. Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
It's been a lot of fun subbing today for Brett McMillan, hanging out here with Bruce Martin and Kelly Crandall. Bruce and I were covering NASCAR when dinosaurs roamed the earth, I fear, like a little bit.
We're certainly a couple of fossils.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay. It's fossil rock time. National Motorsports Press Association, along with the NASCAR Hall of Fame, will install some folks as their membership. And the NMPA, which I don't think gets enough play. Kelly is a past president of that organization. You did a marvelous job, by the way.
Thank you.
I want to publicly tell you, I thought you crushed that. Who are we putting in our Hall of Fame this weekend?
It's going to be a big one. We have Parnelli Jones, Tim Brewer, Lynn St. James. Yeah. And Don Schumacher. So I think that's, four of them right there. So, yeah, Parnelli Jones, former Indianapolis 500, Baja 1000 winner. And then, of course, Lynn is amazing, everything she's done. And Tim, former crew chief, as well as I remember him more for the work he did on television with the cutaway cars and all of that. So, and then Don Schumacher, a legend. We lost him, last year or 2 years ago now in NHRA drag racing. So that's a really, really strong class right there.
A very well-rounded group. It really hits every impact of motorsports.
Nice eclectic grouping. All right, let's get into white flag laps, the last little nugget that you've got on your brain that you want to share with folks. Kelly, we'll defer to you first.
Well, we spent the opening part of the show talking about the clash and the experience in Bowman Gray, and it was the first time I had been there to see a race in person. Of course, it's a NASCAR race, but I immediately understood what folks talked about with the passion and how the history behind that racetrack, why folks appreciated it. And then coming out of the weekend, I'm just glad that not only did we have good racing, but the overall vibes were good, to use kind of what the kids would say. The vibes were good. The vibes were high. And I think that's great for NASCAR to start off with even an exhibition race having so much positivity around it. And I don't know about anybody else that was there, but when I left, I just got the impression that, like, the industry, like, everybody was ready for racing. Like, everybody was excited and ready to go to Daytona and happy. And I don't know if we've had that in recent years. So good for NASCAR to be able to play on this for a week and a half as we get ready for Daytona.
Bruce Martin.
Speaking of everybody ready for racing, to me, whenever I see Groundhog Day, I don't think whether Punxsutawney Phil is going to predict whether we have six more weeks of winter, but it means the beginning of 10 more months of NASCAR.
Right.
Beginning with, in my point of view, the Daytona 500. The Clash was a great way to kick off the year and to get everybody interested in that. But the real show is the Daytona 500. That is a race unto itself. It is not just a race. It's a premier sporting event of the world. And that's one of the great things where the world takes notice of a NASCAR race that day, every February at Daytona. And it really has created its own unique vibe and anticipation that I think we all feel this time of year.
I'll tag along with what both of you just said, especially about Daytona. Last year, it got rained out. It got pushed back to Monday. And that just stops everything. Plus, the week before, you had to race on a Saturday as they moved up the race because of possible flooding in L.A. Let's go to Daytona. Let's have a pretty sunny 75-degree day and a finish that we're not talking about as far as the officials had to rule. I don't want a below-the-yellow-line violation or anything. Let's go and have us a good race, get us a popular winner, and get this season kickstarted. Kelly Bruce, thanks so much for being in here. Appreciate it. Next week, back in the hot seat, will be Brett McMillan. Thanks a lot for tuning in on this edition of The Pit Reporters. I'm Doug Rice for our entire team. Thanks a lot. We'll be back next week with The Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for The Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.